Hi, for everyone who's been having fun watching Spy Games, I've got a special treat for you. I'm pleased to welcome Charnel Wright to the podcast. Charnel was just eliminated in the fourth episode of Spy Games. Whether searching for her dossier, watching someone eat a lot of fruit, or seeing her do a quick change into a jogger outfit to follow her target, it's been a pleasure watching Charnel on the show this season. Charnel, thanks so much for coming on to talk about your experience.
What a nice intro. Thank you so much, Jeff. Oh my gosh. Thank you. Yeah. I have fun doing the show, and I'm glad you like it so far. It's a little crazy, isn't it?
It is. So first I have to ask, is dossier a word you never want to hear again?
No, actually, it's actually pretty fun because it's not a word that you really hear often anyway. And now it's in the general vernacular of the public here in America, because a lot of people are just talking about dossiers, whereas they would never have done it before. It's funny.
Sure. So tell me, how did you end up being cast on the show?
Originally, actually, I was up for a different competition show, and it was a Survivor. Oh. And I made it to season for season 33. I don't know if you're a Survivor fan.
Oh, but, yeah.
That was Millennials versus Gen Xers. And I made it as far as you can make it before not getting on. I was up there, a little insider thing with Survivor and the whole thing with alternates. You are an alternate until through that first week that they fly the cast out there to the island. And if someone drops out or whoever they have you, you know, wanting to replace or whoever you are slated to replace, if they drop out, then you go right in. So I got that far.
Wow, that's so close.
That first week. And so close, I know. And then, I don't know, they called me back again for season 36, and that didn't happen either. And then the same casting producer who worked with me on Survivor stuff told me about this one. And she just said, this is a competition show, never done before. Interesting kind of premise. And are you interested? And I'm like, okay, I'll take it. Sold.
Cool. So once you learned about the concept, did it fit in with any of your past? Had you ever wanted to be a spy or any interest in spying? Or was it totally a new experience for you?
It was definitely a new experience. I knew that because of my background in journalism and all of that stuff, I know from history-wise, there are a lot of journalists who have been a part of the whole spy game just because they can kind of move around very easily. If you remember, or you probably are familiar with this because you're familiar with everything, spy culture, with the movie Spy Game with Robert Redford and Brad Pitt from what, 19 something or other?
Yeah.
In that movie, Brad Pitt actually goes and as one of his cover stories, he's a journalist, a photojournalist, and he's out there pretending to be a photojournalist, but actually a spy in whatever scenario it was that he was involved in. But it's actually been a thing. Not every journalist is a spy. However, it happens that way. It's actually a really good way to get around these areas that a spy shouldn't be. If you're a journalist, it makes it easier. So knowing that, I thought that was quite interesting. And I thought, okay, I'll take it. I like challenges.
Sure. Well, and being a journalist, you have it plays right into your nickname, your secret, Dr. Death, having that ability to get information out of people that they might not otherwise be willing to give, right?
Yes, exactly. Thank you very much for seeing it for exactly what it was when I was explaining it in the show. I thought that it was a little harder for people to understand when you automatically think something as a name as ominous as Dr. Death. It just sounds just so horrible, but just so good for, you know, spy stuff. It just is not at all what you would think it would be. So it was important for me to make sure that came across once I was able to explain it, and really, because it actually means to direct, it means something very nice.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I'm able to get people to talk, especially at very, very extremely difficult positions like that. I mean, it would be anything from you're going to, and that's where the death comes in, is the knocking on dead doors. It's a term that journalists use when you have to do that sort of thing, where you have to knock on somebody's door, show up with a camera and a microphone, not having any prior discussions with these poor folks, and having to talk to them and get them to talk and agree to talk. It's a hard thing.
Oh, for sure. And it's also one of those things that, you know, I know a lot of times, well, it may be seem not something that you would ever imagine people wanting to do. They actually do want to talk about the person that they lost because it's a little bit cathartic for them, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's what I found was when it's obviously a different forum. If you wanted to talk to someone about and share your despair with other folks, you would go and talk to family, friends, or what have you. But this whole thing where, especially when it's a higher profile type of a death, oftentimes people are just wanting to just let it out and get it out in a way. So I find that when I ask the question, say, what would you want people to remember your loved one by? And usually that's the one that would kind of open them up, because in their eyes, they want their loved ones to be remembered in a good light, whether they're a criminal or not. And that's when they're able to open up and really share their feelings and just everything, is because you're just giving them a platform to share the good stuff about their loved one who has passed away. So people want to do that.
So let's jump into the show. In the first episode, the audience is tossed right into the middle of things. And it seemed like similar for everybody in the show.
Okay, so I guess without giving away, because something I think you're understanding at this point is there is a lot of editing, because you can't put everything in. I mean, there's so much that has to be left out and left on the cutting floor. And cutting room floor. And because of that, there was actually, can't give much away, but there was a lot more that went on in the wild than they had put in the actual last edit.
Sure.
Even a whole other competition even, but you know, that just happens. And so there was so much more that went into that. So when we were put out there, we were ready for a competition at that point. And you don't get to see that stuff.
Sure.
You just get to see us hanging out, trying to put together tents and things. But at the same time, I'm assuming that, you know, once they were, you know, putting together the whole show, they were just trying to figure out what would be best to go with. And they cut out a whole bunch in that first one. So I particularly liked being in the... In the wild and out there, just because you know, I was going to be on Survivor, so
you were ready for it.
I was all up for it. I was ready.
Well, let's talk about the dossier. Talk me through that moment you realize it's gone. What's going through your head at that time, and what are you feeling?
Okay, so several things in those very few seconds, but it was literally seconds. It was not even longer than a minute. When she was there and she was on top of it. And then I turned around after she had left and go, she was still walking. You could see her walking out the door as I turn around and realize where, you know, it's gone. So what went through my head was one of those things where I guess I could describe it. There's a show called The First 48 on True TV that it goes through the investigation of whatever crimes. It follows cops as they're investigating crimes, usually murders. Anyway, and they always say in that first 48, in those first minutes, in that first little window, you only have a certain amount of time to possibly catch whoever that person is based on the fact that it just happened, you know? So in my mind at that very moment was, let me just try to catch up with this person, because I knew it was literally right there. If not a minute long, it was less than a minute before I saw it and then didn't see it, you know? And all I was thinking was the very day before we had, if you remember, and they did show this in that assessment, that very first assessment, there were two people who came to the assessment without their dossiers. I think it was George and the other one was Safe. And they didn't show us, they were, what they didn't show was how adamant the assessors were about making sure you hold on to your dossier, how important that is. It wasn't brought out as much during that first episode because of editing, but it was really pounded in our heads during that assessment that you need that, or, and if you don't have it with you next time you come back to assessment, you better, you know, be sure that you'll be off the competition. And all, and at that moment I was just thinking, how am I going to leave the competition on this to come this far and leave it because some jerk steals it from me? So that was also the motivation behind it. And so the first thing I thought of was, let me just run after whoever I see, you know, who just walked out or who just walked by me. And yeah, of course, as you know, I saw Chelsea, and I remember it to this day. Oh my gosh, because we got closer too, because we were in the same that first when you see us in the woods, we're actually split up in two different teams, two separate teams at that point. So it's two separate camps, and Chelsea was on the same camp I was, and we actually bonded through that. And so here I am thinking, like, I see her in this corner with not just one dossier, but two. And that was the biggest thing. And I think you may have pointed that out and made sure you mentioned that was, I think it might not have been as clear for folks when they're watching, but literally because she had two dossiers, it was just, it wasn't a thing at that point. No one should have had two dossiers, no one. And because of that, at that moment, it's got to be mine. It has to be. Like, whose would it be?
Yeah, so, no. Well, it was definitely a secret at that point. Nobody was aware that there were was even the possibility of having two out there.
Right, but that was important too for me to. I was hoping that in editing that it would come across where people would understand, wow, she has two. But I don't know how clear that was. I think it was just in all the melee, it just looked like me just running after somebody for no reason. I don't know. But yeah.
But that didn't seem to stop you and Chelsea from having a really close alliance. It looked like you were very tight there towards the end.
She was my girl, especially it happened in that moment, that very moment, right when, and as you saw, you know, the moment she's just like, it's not your dossier. And I went and looked down at it because that's what I was looking at when I was kind of searching around the house. Whenever I asked someone to show me their dossier, I asked them to show me their name. And we had our names on the front of them in these little stick-on red letters. And so as soon as I saw the dossier that I saw in her hand, she was coincidentally, as the reason why I ran over to her too, because it looks like she was being kind of sneaky. She was doing some kind of scratching and like hiding. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is it. And once I get up there, I see when I grab the dossier, have it in my hand, I look down at it and I see at the end, I see the last two letters. It says CH. Now, my name starts with a CH, but in this case, it was the very last two that it would have been weird to. So I'm being confused by that. I'm looking and it just says CH on there. And then I'm like, holy crap, holy shit. And then when she's like, it's Mitch's dossier, I'm like, oh, okay. And right away, I'm relaxed. I go, I'm sorry. Here you go. It really had nothing to do. It was more just to grab it from her, and poor thing. Yeah, I work out 6 days a week. I don't think she. The poor thing just.
You're ready to break her in two.
I wasn't. Well, that's the thing. I wasn't. It was just. I was just holding on to the dossier for dear life. But I will tell you this. She was amazing because what you don't see is she was just like, I would have done the same thing. You know, no one else is supposed to have two dossiers, and she was very much. She was very adamant about making it clear that I wasn't, you know, I didn't hurt her. She was just, you know, let's just do this together now. And then that started that whole thing with the, with our own little group, or it grew a little bit later, adding Christina in there, but it was her and I from the start.
So let's get into some of those challenges, because I was curious, what was your favorite and how was that whole experience for you?
My absolute favorite was, of course, breaking and entering. the reason why, for obvious reasons, I got kudos from the assessors on that. But also, one of the things I did in preparing for the show, because just like even with Survivor, I prepared by doing all sorts of things that you would think you would do to prepare for that. Same thing with this competition, is I have a friend who works in intelligence. He is actually somebody who goes through these types of real life spy games. And he was nice enough to kind of give me a couple of little training sessions. And one of which was, he said this specifically, anytime you're surveilling anyone, or you have to surveil someone, or someone else, you're under surveillance, make sure you're able to change your identity. So, and she's like, with anything, with a hat, with what, anything, change, you know, turn your shirt inside out, anything. And I just right away thought, I have a gazillion, million, billion wigs. I'm going to bring all of them.
No, that was great. When you pulled that on, I was like, all right, she's in it to win it on this one. So that was great.
Yeah, it was a good time to do that. And that was two wigs, by the way. It was hard to tell that. So I had a shorter wig on top of my own hair, which is much longer than that. But then I had a long hair wig that looked like my real hair. And it was just obviously confusing. So it looked almost like, without knowing, you would think it was my short hair that was my hair. But that was a wig too.
All right. Wow. Layers within layers there. That's great. So I've got to ask about the assessments, because they seemed very intense, and you went through a couple of really intense grillings there. How long did that actually film for, and what was that experience like to be sitting in front of those three assessors?
The interrogation was definitely, so you're talking about the initial assessment, which is the whole, all of the contestants.
Yeah, that, and then when you're also, when you get to the interrogation portion too.
It's interesting because it's hard to remember how long those went on for. I know they just went on late into the evening, morning hours, 1 o'clock in the morning, two sometimes, just depending on what went on. A lot longer than the 5 minutes that they show you in the actual episode. So I can't really nail down and say it was like 15 million hours or anything like that, or 5 hours. It was just longer than, it was at least an hour, sometimes two, depending on how long you were in assessment, the initial assessment, which is when everybody, all the contestants are in there, or competitors are in there. And then if you're brought into the bottom two, that ends up being, I can't even tell you how long those
sure.
went on. Yeah.
And so when you're sitting in front of the three there, what was that like? What was your impression of them?
During the interrogation or just meeting them?
I guess the interrogation part, yeah.
Obviously, in my mind, all I was thinking of was I just wanted to keep my cool. I just wanted to make sure they saw, especially in that first one, they saw that I, after having those two incidents of first grabbing the dossier from Chelsea and then being embroiled into George's shenanigans, and that I knew right away I was concerned about going in was I did not want to look like I was this hothead going in there. So that was what I was very concerned about, which, by the way, is crazy. It's funny because anybody who knows me and anyone who has been watching the show who actually knows me, they're thinking the show made me do that. They're like, did they make you attack? Because you don't attack people. I'm like, no, but I didn't attack her. I went to just grab the dossier. It just looked a lot worse than it was. Anyway, so I remember that going through my head and knowing that I would have to be the exact opposite from what they felt they saw me doing when they were watching me on the monitors during those situations. So that's all I was thinking. I was more nervous. It wasn't so much, I was nervous to go before them. But at the same time, I think in my mind, you can talk to other folks or the other competitors, and they'll say something different. But in my mind, I was just like, let me just stay composed.
So what would you do differently if you had the chance to do it all over again?
Obviously, wouldn't get as rolled up in the whole dossier gate thing, which I coined it dossier gate. Colin used it. They were because there was something that was also cut out, and I don't know if I could share, but it had to do with me kind of calling a meeting, a spy house meeting, and asking, you know, whoever took it, it's okay. I know you took it, but put it back in a certain, I told him to put it back in a spot that I won't care or I won't go after you. But I called it dossier gate at that point. And that's, yeah. So he was the one who was able to get the credit for saying it. But anyway, so I would change my, because I did. I was pretty much, I feel like I did let it kind of defeat me. And I do say that in that last episode too, because I was just so concerned, not even once I had it, it still was something that I felt that I let affect my game initially, because once even before I had it, when it was stolen, that's all that was on my mind. So it was harder for me to concentrate on, you know, whatever the task at hand was, which most especially concentrate on getting to know the other competitors in a way where I could use my Dr. Death skills. I just let it completely throw me off in that sense, where I know I didn't play the social game as well because I was just in this whole headspace of I got to get this back or else I'm gonna, you know, it sucks. So I give so much credit to Nika for number one getting that drama, riling up that drama for the show and for the competition in a way where we didn't have that. Starting out, but you know, it was a good move initially. It's just what she did with it, you know, is a different story.
No hard feelings with Nika?
No, not at all. You know, of course, the emotions are much more intense when you're out there, when we're in this kind of sequestered kind of state, which is a lot more off-putting than you would think. When you're in this place where it's not reality in your sense of like how things would be at home. So that's one thing. So when you're in that bubble, it's easier to get kind of all, you know, bent out of shape about stuff. But no, I know why she did it. And if you know her, she's very intense in thinking. How do I explain? But I'm sure if ever you get a chance to talk to her, she'll explain. But I understand why she did it, because now I understand how she is and how she thinks. But I'm good now.
Okay.
It's okay.
Were you surprised when you found out that it was her that took it, though?
Yes, because initially she did. She was one of the people to reach out to me. Probably, it's almost like she tried to do the most outside of Chelsea, because Chelsea was the first to just say, listen, I'm going to help you, we're going to do this and make it happen. But it was really Nika who had, again, something that landed on the cutting room floor. She did something that involved doing planks for me. She's like, to make you feel better, let me do some planks. Again with the planks.
She can't get away from the planks.
She can't get away from planks. So she did this whole plank thing to just make me feel better. And anyway, that didn't make it on there. But she really was pretty much, I really had no idea. I didn't think it was her because, she got me. She did.
So I was hoping, if it's all right with you, to kind of go through some of the contestants and get your impression of some of the other folks on the show.
Yeah. No
All right, so let's start out with Nika. What was your impressions of her?
I think she comes across pretty much the way came across to me. Pretty much, I think the way she comes across to anyone watching is that she says it herself. She might be a super sucky spy, the impression I got from her is she does like to have a good time and joke around a lot. So that's what I got from her, especially in those very first days. She was always the one to chime in with a joke or some kind of Mama Noor kind of thing, you know. So I remember thinking she was really kind of the jokester. in the bunch, and not taking it as seriously as I think she ultimately was taking it very seriously, in the sense that she knew, you know, when she knew she didn't want to be on the chopping block again, she got desperate and stole the dossier. So I remember it coming, her coming across as not as serious about the competition.
Okay. What about Colin?
Colin, well, because, I mean, he's a specimen of a human being. So I remember when I first saw him, I thought, well, you know, he's like Captain America. He's probably going to kick some butt and smile in his and have a little twinkle, a little twinkle you'll see in his smile. Yeah, I just thought he was that Captain America kind of type, and very much, he was a super nice guy. I remember there was an exchange where I thought at one point he was the one who stole my dossier too. It's almost like everybody went through that with me. They'll just show you all of it. They show you just a couple of people.
Everyone's a suspect.
He was a suspect. But no, he's a really nice guy.
What about Christina?
Christina, at first sight, I thought, you know, people, it's just so crazy how we do this. You see someone and then you have this thing in mind, exactly how they are and how you think they may be. And she, all I can say is she's Mama Bear. She very much, especially in the spy house, she's always the super caring one. She is a mom. She's the only mom in the cast. So you really felt that came across. She's Mama Bear.
And how about Brock?
Brock, definitely. He was, I knew, and this did come up in the competition, that I knew, I saw his bags when he came in were military kind of grade army bags. You could tell just everything that he had, or his bags. So I knew he was from that kind of arena. I figured he was, but he didn't always come across that way to me. So of course, once he started kicking butt in the competitions, then I knew, okay, this guy really is a dynamo. So I just felt like he was Superman alongside Colin.
Okay, and what about Chelsea?
Chelsea, I don't know what I can say about her, because she's awesome. That's all. I came after her, and she still was amazing and super nice. And but like I said, she understood with the whole dossier gate thing what was going on, and so she was great. It was great to have her out there with me, because she actually kind of reminds me of my best friend here at home. And so I almost felt like I had my best friend there with me to help me out. So she's good. And I'm pretty excited how she's doing in the competition right now.
Yeah. What about George? You had that wonderful moment. You had that wonderful moment. It's a not unforgettable thing in the pool house there with the fruit. So.
Like the fruit. He loved that pool house, man. Like, that was like his lair, if you will. George, I mean, if you're going to have that with a villain, his lair in the spy world. Within the competition, I initially was pretty put off by him and lots of people. He comes across as this, you know, he even said it. He's like, I'm not creepy, but as soon as you say you're not something, that's what everybody's going to call you. So he came across that way. But I think at the same time, he's just not unapologetic about whether he's being awkward. If it's awkwardness, he embraces his awkwardness, where I have so much respect for somebody who can do that, because we're all awkward, but we don't always embrace it. And so I call him Georgie Boy. He's just an interesting kind of guy and doesn't care what people think about him. And I admire that.
Sure. Well, that's everybody still in the competition, but any impressions of Jessica, Safe, and Mitch that you wanted to share?
Oh my gosh, Safe. I want to post some stuff on social media about him. His backstory, and I'm sure you've seen some, just quite, I mean, something else. He has been through hell and everything, just to get here and get his family here. And he's done some amazing, amazing things. And I do wish we could have seen more of him and what he could do in the Spy Games competition. I know, as you know, he is very much a team player. And yeah, that's kind of what did him in.
Yeah.
But he's just such a gentle giant. He's such a gentle giant that I get it. And he's just a great guy. And he's been through some stuff, let me tell you. So, yeah. Yes. And who else? And Jessica is exactly who she is, how she comes across in the competition as well. She's a great gal. She has her quirky kind of sense of humor. I too wish we could have seen her move forward in a way, just to see her do those like real computer kind of. And she was one of the ones I think who was most like lurky, because she was too a lone kind of wolf like George. So
yeah.
She would get a lot of information basically, and that whole thing in playing both sides, she kind of was, because she was around like Nika and those people a lot. But also she could kind of sneak in and see what was going on with our Fierce Fatale network as well. So it would have been nice to see her, you know, continue to play both sides.
Sure.
How that would have turned out.
So what do you think you got out of the experience now that it's been, I mean, it filmed, I think, over a year ago at this point,
yeah.
Right? So you've had some time to sit with it. You've seen how it's been portrayed on television. What do you think you come away with?
So I had every episode I would have a watch party, so a bunch of my friends would get together and stuff. And I remember thinking, what am I going to say after all of this? What I got out of this? And it only came to me that last episode when I was sitting in front of them once it ended. And really, I think... as in anything, when you're putting yourself to a test, like in a competition like this, where you are tested for the good, the bad, and the ugly, and sometimes when you're coming out of something like that, you realize some things about yourself that you didn't know before. And I think I did say this in the show or on my walking out kind of moment, was I did learn a lot about myself, and I took away from it the fact that, you know, sometimes I think people think we can tend to be more, you know you're not perfect, but you want everybody else to think you are.
Yeah.
When, as in this circumstance, like with Dossier Gate, you know, if I'm not seen as in the best light, oftentimes in my life I would feel like, oh my gosh, how could, I'm so embarrassed of that. But at the same time, it's like, you know, that happened, all that stuff happened on there, but I didn't die. So it's fine. So who cares? You know, like, why should we care about what people think? And that was a big one that came out. I got out of it myself, was just, why care what people are thinking about you? Just know that, you know, be comfortable with yourself, and you'll be fine. I mean, that was a big one I got out of that. That's why I was saying, like with George, I admire him for embracing his awkwardness. It is that sort of thing. It's like, well, you know, why care what people think? Just do you. So
it's true. Yeah. I mean, on television, it's going to portray you in a certain way, and you're going to be, you got to be comfortable with who you are and be yourself and be okay with that, I think. And that's and being yourself is probably the hardest thing that you learn to do as a human being.
Exactly. And that definitely is something outside of the, forget reality shows or anything, that's just real life. So I did appreciate, and I do appreciate that I've gotten that from this. Also, literally, this, again, I will tell you this, growing up, it's funny, I don't know if some of my backstory, when most of what they used, or was more just a fraction really of what I talked about, and how I grew up, and how, anyway, my mom put us all into the entertainment business. So we were doing commercials and stuff, all of us kids, four kids, and we would bring money in that way. Anyway, so I talked about how that happened. but then really all they left in there was that I grew up in, you know, this tough place in New York, and I'm a fighter. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm the opposite from a fighter. I feel like really what I was growing up was a runner. I ran away from the bullies all the time. It was like, that was the last thing. I was not like somebody who would want to look for a fight. So I thought that was just kind of funny how it came out that way, that I was just this tough girl, which, I mean, I am tough, but seeing it and then, because all I thought I was going to, you never know what, how it's going to turn out edit-wise, right? So we had this whole year of waiting and waiting and just that anticipation, like, oh my gosh, how am I going to look? And the last way I thought I was going to look was tough. I thought I was going to look like a wimp for some reason. I don't know why. So then to see this come out of it where people have got like, oh my God, you're a badass. I'm like, what? Who's that? That Charnel in the same sentence? But so it makes you realize some things about yourself that you just, you don't realize when you're not watching yourself on TV, you know?
Sure.
I feel like that's good that what came out of it is I thought, okay, I guess I do look like a badass.
I thought so.
Yeah, apparently, yeah. Everybody's like, you did not look like a wimp. I'm like, really? See? It's funny how you see yourself, you know?
It's for sure. Well, so I have to ask, was it fun? Would you do it all over again if given the option again?
Now, as so many people ask me this, and the answer to that is, yes, I would do it again. But it wasn't all fun. It definitely wasn't all fun. Some of that emotion, I mean, especially, I can only speak for myself, the emotions that came from me, especially in that last, right before the interrogation against Christina, where I was just like, okay, you know, Nika needs to go. And I was like getting a bit emotional, if you remember. I remember I'm taking myself back to that time. I was like, what was it? Yeah, it was late because it was late at night. But I did, I was like, okay, I actually, what's the word? I mean, that wasn't the best time at that moment.
Well, it seemed like it was overall a very stressful experience too, because you don't know what's coming. You're never sure where you're going to land and what's coming next. And so, well, yes, there's some, you know, for us as a viewer, it looks like it would be great fun to be, you know, learning how to pick locks and following people around. The fact is, you're constantly on edge, right? You never know what's coming next.
Oh, and that's 24/7, just because you're thinking the game 24/7, you're living it, and then it's your own gameplay and whatever moves you want to make. But on top of that, you have to look out for everyone else, and you're on alert and constantly on alert. But, you know, we signed up for it, so it's not even anything I'm complaining about. Overall, I believe it was the good, the bad, and the ugly is what I keep telling people. And I do it again because, again, this is somebody who wanted to do Survivor and go running around on an island stealing dossiers and or immunity idols, I guess.
Yep.
So I was very happy once and even seeing it all come together too. So in hindsight, yeah, I would do it again just because I like competitions and I would love to just show what else I could do beyond switching my wigs.
Anything else about the experience you wanted to mention to folks?
One thing that surprised me too, when you think about reality shows, you feel like, it isn't reality in that you're in such a different space from just normal everyday life that I was surprised more by that. Just, it's just kind of a different, it's all a different world.
Sure.
It's you, but it's not all you. As in, like I said, with the whole dossier, me grabbing the dossier from Chelsea and then chasing after Cuckoo George with that. I'm like, oh, well, that's not all me, though. You know what I mean? So when someone can be watching that, they'll think, okay, that's her. And I'm like, no, that's not me as in all I am. Yeah, so it's good. I'm hoping that, and I think that people understand that when they are watching these things, is that, you know, this is not, we're more characters of ourselves than completely ourselves because of, you're not able to have all of that backstory and all of the stuff that landed on the cutting room floor and all that. So
sure.
I found that very interesting.
Well, tell us what you're up to now. What are you doing now that you're away from the spy house?
I know. I'm really getting back into with my work and just diving into it like a crazy woman. I do public relations consulting. So I left the news business about 4 years ago, and I started my own my own public relations consulting company. And that's what I do. It's the kind of thing like Dr. Death stuff, I teach executives how to think like a news journalist in that, how to use your story and storytelling when you're marketing yourself. So I do a lot of media training, and I also do media placement. I get my clients news media attention because I come from that world too. So I've been diving into that, and I added personal styling too to my whole plate. So I have a whole personal styling little empire I'm getting going too. So that's what I've been doing, just keeping busy with that stuff.
Well, that's great. So if folks want to follow you on social media or keep up with what you're up to, is there a good way to do that?
Yeah, it's Charnel Wright. Everything is Charnel Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. It's funny because was it you who looked up Charnel the word? It's actually pronounced charnel in the dictionary. I think it was someone somewhere who had looked that up. If you look it up in my name, it's my name, but look it up in the dictionary. And it actually means death. It's crazy. It's such, this whole death thing is like all, it's like meant to be. Anyway, it's spelled, if you look it up, you'll see. But so it's spelled C-H-A-R-N-E-L, Charnel, N as in Nancy, E-L. And last name Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. So it's at Charnel Wright for a Twitter handle, and Charnel Wright Facebook. You'll see me on there. They'll find
great.
Me. Yeah, and charnelwright.com. I have my website too.
Okay, great. Well, I just have to say it's been a pleasure watching you this season. Seeing how you've been doing and everybody on there. And it's been really great to watch how things have gone. Sorry you're not on there any longer.
It's okay.
But thanks again for a great season.
Thank you. And thank you for watching and deciding to do this whole thing. It makes sense with what you talk about, but it's been very enjoyable to listen to what you, and I'm now going to be an audience member along with you because I don't know. I mean, I know what goes on, but I really don't know how they're going to all kind of lay it all out. So I'm excited about watching it, and I'm glad you're watching too.
Great. Well, we'll be there to recap the rest of it coming up next week when we come back for episode 5.
Sounds good. I'll be listening.
All right. Thanks, Charnel.
Take care.